Man, I am covered in sucker and so happy to be with you guys right now. It's great. It's a good morning. How are you guys doing? Everybody doing all right? Good. You guys look awesome. Look like you've been lighting off fireworks this weekend. Thank you for those in Manhattan who made my dog have a panic attack. Thank you so much. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah, it's great to be with you guys. An exciting Sunday. We got a lot going on. But when Bob asked me to even speak kind of in between a kind of a one-off message here, I was kind of thinking about what do I speak on? You know, there's Bible's pretty thick, right? A lot to talk about. And where do you start? And I knew it had to have something to do with Jesus, but something else, you know, like what is pressing at this moment? And I just kind of had this revelation, I think, where I was sitting there like, man, it's kind of weird that we would send out 2 weeks in a row missions teams and not talk about that at least a little bit. Because I know in a room this size and with the folks that we know are watching online, maybe you're really familiar with missions, maybe you're not at all. Maybe that's the first time you saw last week when we showed a video and you were like, man, I don't even know where Ethiopia is on a map or where is Bolivia? You know, like I've had people say, where are you going again? You know, a lot of that. Because especially Bolivia, not a place a lot of people spend a lot of time thinking about. So there's some of us who are asking, what are you doing, or where are you going, or why are you going there, right? Why there, why not somewhere else? Or I've even had people say, well, why would you go somewhere else when there's a lot of need here in our valley? You know, why would you go? There's a lot of stuff that needs to be done here. Can't we help someone here? And I think those are all really good questions and valid questions. I've even had people even ask the question of like, well, Logan, do you think we really should go? Because maybe you've had experience. Maybe you've been on a short-term trip, or you were a missionary, or maybe you were lived in a country where maybe you had missionaries come in, and sometimes it's not always done really well. And there's been books written about this, you know, about, I mean, when people go, man, you know, are we doing more damage than good? And so I just thought today would be a great time to have an honest conversation as we're sending two teams out. And I want to give you a better picture of what our teams have been prepped on, what they're doing, what we're about, what we're not about, and obviously how this is really the heart of God. And so that's what I want to make an argument for today. And as I was prepping today or this week and still trying to find some inspiration, I happened to listen to a pastor I really enjoy, and he quoted someone that I was like, that's it. That's what I hope to translate for our congregation. And he wasn't really talking about missions, but he had this quote, and it made me just think like, man, God, I think that's my heart for our students who are heading out. And this quote comes from Mother Teresa, actually, during her Nobel Peace Prize acceptance speech in 1979. And when I say Mother Teresa, a lot of images come to mind. Most of us in this room, young or old, will at least know who that is. But in long and short of it, this is a woman dedicated to serving the least of these in Calcutta, India, for over 7 decades. And so she receives a Nobel Peace Prize at the time after 30 years of serving in 1979. And she would go on to serve until she passed away, but I think it embodies what I hope that I can translate today for you, and I think what God's heart is for what this trip and our trips around the world are about. And she said this at the end of her speech. She said, God loves us, and we have the opportunity to love others as he loves us, not in big things, but in small things in great love. Let me say that one more time for us. God loves us. And we have the opportunity to love others as he loves us, not in big things, but in small things, in great love. And so I want you to think about that phrase at the end of her speech, because here's a woman who dedicated her life to the people, to the least of these, one of the hardest places in the world. But I want us to unpack this statement, because I think it's full of the gospel, and it's full of scriptural backing for this. So what we're going to do is we're going to kind of walk through the idea this morning. First is this idea that God loves us. And that seems like, well, duh, Logan, isn't that why we're here? You know, like Jesus loves me. I've heard that song, you know? But God loves us, and we celebrate a God who is the initiator God, that he comes to us, he redeems us. He doesn't wait for us to make the first move. He made the first move. In 1 John 4:10, it says this is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and what? He sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins, right? Because each and every one of us has a debt that we could not pay for ourselves. All the good we could rack up, all the years in Calcutta could not pay a debt that we can't pay it. And we need a savior. We need someone who can actually pay that, who's lived a perfect life, and that is Jesus. Paul says this in Romans 5:8. He says, but God demonstrated his own love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Christ didn't wait. He's not a doctor saying, hey, go get yourself fixed up and then come to me. No, he's a God who loves us. He comes to those who are sick and broken. He says he actually said, I came for the brokenhearted, not for the righteous, but those who are sick. Those with the affliction of sin, that's you and I. Paul calls himself the chief of all sinners. And so if you are a sinner on any spectrum, you know what? There is room for you in the family of God. And what I can testify about our team, both Ethiopia and Bolivia, is they are full of individuals, both young and old, who know that God loves them. You know, we interviewed our teenagers and all of them had some version of said, you know what? Because of Jesus, I want to go. I might be newer in my faith. I might be a couple years in. I might have grown up in the church, but I know that God loves me. And I know the same thing about our team in Ethiopia. They know that they know that they know that God loves them. Not that there's not highs and lows, but they believe that core to who they are. And what's really cool, I'm really excited for our teens' experience. I know they're probably experiencing this on a Sunday morning in Ethiopia, or I guess Sunday night right now. But we're going to be in church and with our folks in Bolivia. And what I'm super excited for is, and if you've been in other cultures, this is what's really fun. Being a Christian and meeting other Christians in other cultures, there's automatically a lot of times like this brother and sister mentality, right? Like you'll just walk in and everybody's like hugging you and kissing you and you're like, I'm introverted, don't do this, you know, or whatever. If you share Jesus, like that's all that matters. Like there's this language, no matter the language barrier, it's like, I love God. I know that he loves us. And so you know what? We're brothers and sisters in Christ. And so I cannot wait for awkward hugs for our teenagers. I can't wait for people to hug them. And it's just gonna be like, man, how do I feel like I know them even though like they can't pronounce my name. I can't pronounce theirs. And it's like, man, that's Jesus because God loves us. And when we know that God loves us and we've experienced that, and it's not just a title of Christianity or like, oh, I checked that box on some weird form. No, it's like who I am. Like there's something where it's like automatic common ground, right? And you can't really experience it until you experience it. We can experience it in church, but I think we could learn from the global church in that sense. And I'm excited for our teens to experience that unity in the global church. So God loves us. But what's the second part of that statement? It's that we have the opportunity to love as he loves us. Now, I want to ask you, Journey Church, how does God love us? What's the word that comes to mind for you? Maybe it's fully. Maybe it's unconditionally. But as I sat with that phrase this week of we get the opportunity to love others as he loves us, the first word that came to me was sacrificially. That Jesus, he loves us sacrificially. He's not like, well, what do I get out of this? You know, he's not like, it's not a transaction. It's like, man, I want you, so I'm all in. I'm going in for you. And it's sacrificially. Mark 10 says it this way, for even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Paul later says it in Romans 12, therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God, and this is true and proper worship. See, Journey, it seems that scripture has some idea that the way we just, when we live our lives, when we lay our lives on the line for Jesus, when we just say, you know what, I can give of myself in some way, I have this opportunity before me to love others sacrificially, like there's just something about it that it's fragrant to God. Like it's not a transactional thing. This isn't a consumer thing. This is us actually getting to the heartbeat of who God is, because when we love like he loves us, I would argue that it should look sacrificially at some level. It has to. It has to. And what I do know about our team too is that this is a chance for them to move from like kind of a consumer mentality to kind of owning it. Does that make sense? Because it's really easy to come in here and hear a lot of sermons, or even for them to come to youth group or be in a bunch of Bible studies, and you can just like, you could gobble up everything Journey offers you, right? You could be in everything all the time, and that's great. And I'm not saying don't do that. But there's a chance where you get to say, well, where's my next step? And it was interesting that when we interviewed our students and we interviewed all the kids that are going, why is this trip? Why now? What's your, you know, we kind of grilled them a little bit. It was fun. They were sweating. No, I'm just kidding. They weren't sweating too much. You know, I was a bad cop. You know, I was like, slam. No, I'm just kidding. I wouldn't do that. But, you know, we asked them, and in some form or fashion, every kid said something of like, you know what? I just feel like it's my turn to give back, or this is my next step. And you know what? I want to serve others. Like, I've experienced part of who God is. And I, how can I help? How can I serve some way? And I love that heart. And that was something that we were looking for all of our individuals. It's important. It's really important. And what I do know is that even in the moments when we were prepping for this, one of the leaders who was up here on the stage, he said, you know, he said, Logan, I want to help our students put their faith into action. And I think that's such a great way to look at it, is that, you know what, when I love as Christ did sacrificially, what I'm doing is I'm just basically putting my faith into action. I'm putting my money where my mouth is, right? I'm actions speak louder than words. All those phrases that don't really even encapsulate, but you know what? I can go. I can do that. I can leave for a while. I mean, teenagers get a bad rep, but most of them are thought of as like going to camp and suntanning and getting a job and stuff like that. Like, these kids have decided, like, I'm going to go to Bolivia this summer and I'm going to raise funds for that. And I'm going to even call some of you guys and be like, hey, would you partner with me and or send you a letter, or outside selling hot dogs and hamburgers, you know, and all kinds of stuff. Like, they're trying to get there. And there's other kids who aren't going with him who are like, you know what, I might not be going, but I could help you get there. It's really a beautiful thing. And I think about it, it's been a chance for them to actually put their money where their mouth is. Even this morning, there were students sitting with other students excited for them to go, even though they weren't going. What I do know about all these teams is that each one of them has sacrificed in different ways, whether it be giving up of time of vacation or time with family or comfortability or even just their own summer plans. And I'm proud of them, and I hope that you'd be proud of our teams as well. Not because they're perfect people, but you know what? I think they know that God loves them and that they have this opportunity that they get to love others like Jesus does. So now it comes to this, the crux of that statement that Mother Teresa famously said, and at the end she says, it's not that we love in big things, but it's small things done in great love. Interesting statement coming from a lady who you're like, that's a big thing. You know, like, she gave her life for other people. Like in reality, everybody in this room could be the next Mother Teresa. And I know that sounds like a crazy statement, but it would just mean like give up of everything, sell everything you have, move to the worst part of the world. We could all do that. I mean, really, like there's technically nothing really holding us back from doing that, right? But there's a reason that this room is still full, because we all have not made that choice, myself included, okay? I'm not shaming or anything like that. But I would look at her life and say, oh my gosh, that's such a great thing. How could we do that? How would I? I can never live up to that. But yet Jesus famously said, you know, if you give a cup of cold water in my name, you've done for me, right? The fact that whatever you do for the least of these, you do for me. And it's interesting, because that mindset that I think she has is not just like being convenient or nice, like when it's like, oh, when I get around to it, but I think about our team and even the fact, like, you know, we just celebrated 4th of July, man, freedom, baby. You know what I mean? Like, you know, let's let off some fireworks and have a great time. But like, it's interesting that we celebrate our freedom, but also often I think we just celebrate ourselves in that, right? Like, don't tell me what to do. I want to do whatever I want to do with my time, and don't tread on my freedom, you know? But it's interesting that, like, there's something to Jesus of when we sacrifice doing small things, it's just in a small way. I can sacrifice a week of my summer to love others. That's using my freedom a little bit differently, correct? Right? It's okay, I can lay down a part of who I am for the sake of others. I think that's what this trip is all about. Ephesians 5, 2, it says this way, walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. It's interesting that Paul is talking to a group of believers, and it's not just a one-time thing. He's saying walk in the way of love, not just take a step in faith of love, not just one little bibby. And it all starts with a step. Hear me out. I'm all for a good step, taking an action step. But it's walking that way in love, one step after another, just as Christ loved us. Again, right, that same idea. And he gave himself up as a fragrant offering. I would argue that, man, these students and the team that's already in Bolivia, and the two families that right now are training to become full-time missionaries, they've sold stuff, they've sold their houses. I know them personally, and they're going to be serving as representatives of Journey Church currently. I would say, man, they're doing great things. But when I talk to them, they're just like, you know what? This is just a next step of faith. I'm not no Jesus commando. I'm not no superhero. I'm not an Avenger for Jesus. This is just a natural response to who he is. You know what? I can go. I'm happy to do that. even with great sacrifice. They don't look at them as doing something great for Jesus, but just something small, but with great love. But surely you're like, Logan, I'm still not sold on your idea, okay? You know, I'm not in, right? Can I propose to you the 12 disciples, okay? Can we take a look at the 12 disciples? These are the OGs, these are the original, the guys walking with Jesus the most, right? Mark 2, verse 16 says this, these are the 12 he appointed, Simon, who he gave the name Peter, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. I'm gonna try to nail it this time. Here we go. To them he gave the name Boanerges. Where's Derry? He's gonna tell me if I did it wrong, okay? Which means sons of thunder. Sounds like a bad Thor movie, okay? Andrew, Philip, Bartholomew, Matthew, Thomas, James, son of Alphaeus, Thaddeus, Simon the Zealot, and Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him. Can I just propose to you, look at these 12 people that Jesus spent the most time with. They heard him, they saw miracles, they even see him raised from the dead. Like, these are his like core people, right? And what we have from this list is some of those names you know. You're like, okay, I might not be in church around a lot, but I know that Matthew guy, I think he's kind of important, right? Wasn't he like a tax collector or something, you know? Or like, wasn't one of those guys like a doctor or something like that? Or Zealot, you can take a guess. Like that dude was probably like a rebel alliance. Like he was really trying to fight the Roman government, you know, like Judas, that sounds like a bad name. No one names their kid Judas for a reason, you know, that kind of thing. You know, there's a list of names here that you're like, I know some of them, but I would argue there's even the best Bible scholars in this room, those who are like sword drill with the best of them. There's lists in there and you're like, I don't know anything about X, Y, and Z in there. And I would offer to you that I think that's an amazing thing because there's some names on this list that we know they were disciples, but there's not much reference to them in the Bible. Some we have lots of ideas about Peter and John and all these different people, but some on that list, we know very little about them. We know a couple references or just maybe some cases like that where they went. We know that most of these people would give their life as martyrs for Jesus. They would die carrying the gospel to different places and corners of the world. But I think it makes the point that I'm trying to make is that maybe it's not about trying to do something great for Jesus, but even this list, we don't know anything that their life really summed up in other than they were just about Jesus. And they took Jesus wherever they were at. Friends, what I'm trying to say is that there's people, even the 12 disciples, it wasn't about their great acts or we would have had something written down about them. They're just simple people, fishermen, tax collectors, maybe a terrorist. I don't know. You know, like a wild list of Jesus choosing. He goes, those are my guys. These are the people I'm going to hand the keys of the kingdom to. You know what? You are going to carry out the message of Jesus to the ends of the earth. Probably not like tier one A-list, like fishermen probably still smell bad. You know, like you're like, can we pick a better cream of crop people? You know, but like Jesus pulls these people together and says, you know what? Actually, you are going to be the ones that takes my message, the gospel, to the ends of the earth. Journey Church, we are fully equipped, right, as we are, knowing that God loves us. And each and every one of us, I would argue, has an opportunity to love as he does, not in great things, but in small things in great love. What does this look like? What could this possibly look like for us? Some of you guys know, I've been on a bunch of mission trips. I went on my first one in high school. I went to Jamaica and it was awesome and not because it was, I mean, Jamaica was pretty cool, but you know what I mean? But we went down there and I mean, I just got hooked. I just got hooked with like, you know, we went down there and I was like laying cinder block for like a week. And I was like, this is the greatest week of my life, you know? And I hope those buildings are still standing because I was like 16 laying cinder block. There was more professionals there. You know, but like I went there and I've been to a bunch of different countries. I've done short-term trips. I've done longer-term trips. Met some friends in Haiti. I would fly down spring break to Port-au-Prince, right? And as like the only white dude rolling in there, you know? And they were like, I was looking for like a guy named Jean-Paul and he was like, Logan. I'm like, yeah, that's me. You know, 6'5", white, I stuck out. You know what I mean? Funny stories of like, I had to take a taxi to see my friends and they were like, you're gonna meet this taxi. And like literally as I get off this bus, like the dust blows away and there's this little 5'2 dude in a moped and he's like, Logan. And I'm like, oh man, okay. So I hop on the back of the moped, you know, and I'm just like flying and like these kids are running their house going LeBlanc, LeBlanc, which means the white, you know? And I'm like, that's me, you know? I had like long hair, so I'm just like flowing and it was awesome. You know, like those are cool stories, you know? And I got tons of those. And then it led me to some time after college that I served as a missionary in Europe, and it was a really difficult season, and man, a lot of things that, you know, I think I walked in there thinking, man, I'm going to change the world for Jesus. I'm going to do all these great things. I need to do great things for Jesus. And I had the mentality until that kind of gets beat out of you, because you know what? That kind of wears off that after you've lived there for a while, and you're like, oh, wait, I'm just kind of living normal life here. And I got to like get to know people, and I need some friends, and I miss my family, and I'm not doing super great all the time, you know? But and it hit me, but I also saw a missions team, because I was the guy that you know, Journey Church would send their people to, right? Like I was in the country, and I would host, you know, youth groups and churches and stuff. And what I would argue, what I do learn, and even in the midst of that hardship, I learned a really valuable lesson. Because I had some churches that came and they had great budgets, and they came from some of the biggest churches you would know, their pastors, and their groups were the worst, you know? Because you know what? They came in with like Land Rovers and money, and they had to do something awesome for Jesus, and they threw up drones over stuff, and I'm like, why is there drones up here? You know what I mean? And I mean, they had like a movie edited before the end of the day, and they're like, look at all, yeah, these people raise their hands, and I was like embarrassed. Like, and I was sitting with these local churches, small churches, just faithfully trying to follow Jesus. And that, I remember they'd just be like, Logan, is that what it's all like in America? Is that really what it means to look like to follow Jesus? And I would hang my head. I remember one time this local pastor even took us out to dinner. You know, it's a little church, no budget at all. And he took the team out, you know, and I just remember these kids, they just started laughing at the meal, you know? They just thought it was so funny that, oh, that's not what we call it in America. And they were just giggling. And I remember him being like, is something wrong? Did we mess up? Can I get this food differently for you? And I just was like, oh, I could just crawl in a hole and die, you know? And I just had to apologize. And what I want to share to you, I share that story because you know why? Journey, you should be proud that our team isn't going to do that, okay? I will carry that weight of, we're not going to cause more damage. You know, I have that rule with the youth. We say, leave things better than we found it. We want to leave people and places better than we found it. Journey, because of you, we're going to try to leave both Ethiopia and Bolivia. We're not coming in as saviors of the world, but we can, you know what? I know that God loves us. And I know that I have this opportunity to love as he does. And I can't do anything great, but I can do small things in great love. And that's what I want our team to do. And I think that's what we're committed to. And so we're not going to be one of those teams that causes a big ruckus. But you know the best teams that came? I don't remember their church's names. I don't remember anything about them. And they would come, they say, Logan, what can I do for you? Hey, you're here like all the time. Like I leave in a week, you live here. How can I help you? What's the most thing? You want me to organize that closet? Dude, I'm on it. We'll go do that. Hey, what do you need? How can we be a blessing as pastor? Like those groups made ripple effects in these communities. That's what I hope Journey will do. Now we got a great group of kids, we got great leaders, we got great funding, but we want to be a blessing, and we're not going to go and try to do something great. We're going to try to do small things in great love. Because the groups that come in there and they just look at people, they treat people like projects. We ain't going to do that. We're going to walk in there in love and come alongside and say, hey, what can we do to be a blessing? It ain't about us. So yeah, we'll see pictures and you'll see videos, and I'm not saying pictures and videos are bad, but when we make it about people as projects, no one likes that feeling, do we? I don't want to be treated like a project. Your neighbor doesn't want to be treated like a project. Your kids don't want to be treated like a project. Your roommate definitely doesn't, right? So we want to leave them better than we found them. We want to love them well. I can't do great things, but I can do small things in great love. And there was this moment for me as I was coming back stateside, and after a couple of years, I realized, I was like, man, there's something about this that, like I said, my new normal. Like I was like, oh, I just created a normal life in another country. And maybe I stuck out because I was tall and wore a baseball cap and drank too much water is what they told me. But and they're like, well, you're American. I'm like, how? And they're like, you wear a baseball cap and you drink too much water. I was like, okay, that's interesting. I just try to stay hydrated, you know? You should try it too, you know? But whatever the reason was, you know, in that. But when I was coming back, I realized there was this moment for me, even in the hardship, I was like, you know what? The way I'm living over here shouldn't change because of my zip code. It shouldn't change because I'm not a missionary anymore. I take off this hat and I just walk away. No, like everything I was doing there, I could do here. I made friends. I got in a community of people, believers. I served. I told the first service. I think I did like Inspector Gadget for like their version of base camp. And it like was so cringy and I hated it. And I thought, why are we doing Inspector Gadget? I was super confused, you know? And like I served in my local church. We won't make you do that if you serve in base camp, I promise. But it just became normal. It became a new normal. I had a coffee shop. I had places I went. I had people hung out with, even though it felt very uncomfortable. And I would argue, Journey Church, that to do what Mother Teresa is asking us, what I would say more than that, what Jesus is asking us to do, it should not change based on where you're at. It may look differently, maybe different functions, but getting to know my neighbors, I don't just say I do that because I live in you. I'm a missionary, so I have to meet my neighbors. Well, why aren't we meeting our neighbors here? Who's the dude in the cubicle beside you? I argue with our students all the time. There's always a kid by at the lunch table by themselves, if there's still a lunch table. But you know what I mean? Like, you know, go find them. Like, there's always someone sitting by themselves. It ain't hard to be like, God, give me eyes for some. They're right there. Go sit with them. You know, like, that prayer is answered all the time. You know, like, you don't have to beseech the Lord in prayer and fast and wear sackcloth for that. Like, there's someone that needs help right now. Can I love them? But can I ask you this question, Journey? What gets in the way? What gets in the way? Because there's some real churchy people in here. We're some OGs and we're like, I know, no, I'm supposed to be missional. I'm supposed to do that stuff. But like, what gets in the way? And I mean that with no condemnation or judgment. You know, I know a lot of my neighbors' names. I don't know all of them. I could do better at that. You know, in all my years of pastoring, I've never met someone like, you know what, Logan? I just share Jesus too much. That's what I do. I'm talking about Jesus way too much. Can you help me with that? I've never met that person. But a lot of people who said, you know, I could do better. So this is a safe room wherever you're at. We can't do, maybe we don't feel the ability to do great things. Maybe that's it. Maybe we feel like, man, do I have to do something great for Jesus? Because I can't live this out. I don't even know the whole book. But I want to argue, I don't know what that answer is for you of when you say what's holding you back. But I do know, I think Matthew 28, even the Great Commission passage, it gives us an insight of what held back the disciples. And I want to land the plane here this morning. Matthew 28 is the most famous passage for going and sharing the love of Jesus, right? It's the Great Commission passage. And I think Matthew, in his wisdom and God in his mercy, he loves us so much that he gave us, this little insight that I think we can miss it. But starting in verse 16, it says, then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, listen to this, they worshiped him, but some doubted. Now, this is the same list of people I just told you about. These are the inner crew, right? They saw the miracles. They heard all the teachings. They were there. They saw the 5,000 get fed. They've seen enough, you would think would be enough evidence. I've heard people say, well, if I got to see those miracles, I wouldn't have any doubts. I would argue, read Matthew 28. They worshiped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And I surely am with you always to the very ends of the age. Isn't it interesting that Jesus gives the Great Commission passage, the one that we carry on as a legacy as believers in Jesus, that we would actually go and make disciples, go to all people, not as the Savior, but as people who've experienced God's goodness, right? As we can say, God's loved us. And so now I have this opportunity to love as he does, not in great things, but in small things done in great love. Like, all of us can do that. I would argue that the Holy Spirit has equipped us, if we've said yes to Jesus, to do that. And there's a group of people who both are really, really, they're worshipful. They're worshiping Jesus, but I almost imagine like their hands up, but they're kind of like looking at Jesus with one eye open, like, are we sure? You know, like, they're doubting. They still have doubt. They are both worshiping and have doubt at the same time. And Jesus goes, those are the guys I'm sending out. These are the people who are going to carry this on. I'm actually out of here. Other passage says, it's better that I leave. You'll listen to the Holy Spirit. He'll take you. And what we know from Scripture is that they do. All of these individuals actually, in the midst of their doubt, in their fears, in the midst of their worship, they actually do what Jesus said. Maybe not perfectly. Maybe not, you know, they didn't like solve every problem in the world. We still got a lot of those, right? But they actually did this. They actually took Jesus for his word. And what it says is they must have believed Jesus to some level in the midst of their doubt to say, you know what? I know he says he's going to go with me. I'm really scared. I don't know what this looks like. I've never been there. I can't pick you on a mat. I don't know my neighbor. Their house was purple like mine. Maybe people were scared to talk to me. You know, like, my house is not purple anymore, by the way. I painted it yesterday. But, you know, Thank you. If you're in Manhattan, you won't be able to find it now. But we're scared to talk to those people. We're afraid to jump to those people or whatever it might be. But we have this opportunity to love as he does, sacrificially. All of us are called to make that sacrifice. You don't get to say, well, I don't get to do that. And there's all these arguments about sending and who goes and do I need to go? And I think it's just a waste of time to miss the point that, man, all of us have this opportunity. We have an opportunity to love as he does. And what I know too is Jesus says, those who have ears, let them hear. And Jesus in his day, a lot of people heard him. They didn't listen to him either. But you had an opportunity to. It's the same thing for us. We all have an opportunity to respond to the gospel, to hear Jesus' word when he says, I've come and I'm coming to make all things new. My kingdom's come and I'm going to give it to you guys to live it out. And that redemption is available to you. The forgiveness for your sins, eternity is available to you. And I know, unfortunately, that some people may just not listen to me, and that's okay. Or maybe you may not take me up on the opportunity to actually go. You might be like, you know what, Logan, I know I should love my neighbors, but I just ain't gonna do it. Okay, you can make that choice. And I'm not trying to shame you or guilt you into anything. I just would argue that we have an opportunity. Will we take it? And I believe that there are some that will take that, whether that be here locally or to go on the next trip when we say, hey, we're going to Ethiopia or Bolivia. And you say, you know what? I think it's my time. It's my time to go do something. I can't do anything great. I'm not a Bible scholar. You don't have to be. But you know what? I can do small things in great love. I can do that. Everybody in this room has the ability to love a friend who is recently widowed and is hurting. Everybody in this room has the ability to go sit at the lunch table with someone else. Someone else has, everybody in this room can have has the ability to whether it be sourdough or whatever you want to bake, and take it to your neighbor and get to know them, or actually invite your roommate to church with you, or whatever it might look like. But you may not have time. Maybe when I say what gets in the way, maybe you're like, it's my time or my inability or whatever. I am not asking you, and I will say this a lot, I'm not asking you to add to this to your busy life. I think there's things in all of our lives, mine included, that can fall to the wayside in order for me to intentionally live, do small things in great love. I can do those things, but you know what? I got to actually die to some stuff. I got to actually let some stuff fall away. I can stop watching TV a little bit more. I can stop worrying about my yard so much, or I could do some things. Like, it's going to take some sacrifice for me. Jesus makes that really clear, whether small or great. But Journey Church, that's the opportunity before us. I'll leave you with this. Jesus' words, Mark 1. After John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee proclaiming the good news of God. The time has come, he said. The kingdom of God has come near, meaning Jesus has come near. Repent and believe the good news. Jesus makes it really clear. He's like, hey, I've come to earth. I've come, I've begun, I've set the wheels in motion for redemption, and I've come. I'm drawing all men to me, all folks to me, all women to me, of all ethnicities, every background. And there's a time to repent and to believe this is good news. Journey, we have an opportunity right now to experience God's love, and that we can actually have this opportunity to love as he does, sacrificially. And I can take all the pressure off of you. You don't have to do anything great for God, but you could do great things, small things in great love, whatever that might look like. I can't fill in that blank for you. It could look like going on a trip. It could look like just even buying a hot dog and helping these kids get there. It could look like helping serving in base camp. It could just be loving your neighbor. It could be, you know what? I've been scared to jump into a small group. I just get into it. I need to learn the Bible a little bit. Whatever it is. Wherever you're at, whatever that next step of faith is for you. And even when Jesus says repent and believe, I've never met the person who's like, I repent too much either. You know what I mean? Like, we could come in here and say, God, you know what? I'm sorry. I don't do this. I don't share. I don't live missionally, whether here or abroad. Because what we've made really clear to these kids, hey, don't do nothing over there you wouldn't do at home. Don't be going around, walking around, trying to share. And if you ain't doing it at home, man, don't do that there. That's kind of two-faced. That doesn't feel good, does it? And we've helped our team train. They've come for every Sunday night, or once a month, for hours before youth, over 10 times, getting trained, getting prepped, getting ready for this. I know Ethiopia has too. Journey, what's our chance? What's our chance to step into this and actually say, God, what would you have for me? What is my step? And maybe what is getting in the way? Journey, will you pray with me? yeah, Lord, I'm just humbled. I'm humbled by, just like that verse we read earlier, that it's, we've just received and we've tasted of your mercy, God. And man, this is a beautiful thing that we get to just be part of it. Lord, I just pray for our church that we would, that the veil would be torn, the demystify, that there'd be this idea that we would just be stepping to action, that we wouldn't just think, we know what, I don't have it figured out, or I'm not a PhD and I don't know this stuff and I can't share. No, you know, if we love God, if we know that God loves us, if we've experienced that, I know this room's full of those people. Then Lord, I just pray that you would show us the opportunities that we have to love as you love us, sacrificially. If it's inviting someone in for a home, is it getting to know somebody? Is it going? Whatever that may look like, Lord, but that we would, and thank you, Lord, that you don't put the pressure on us that we have to do something great for you, but that we could do small things in great love. And God, I just pray that there'd be, everybody in this room and online would be just be peppered. Just so many things this week where they'd be like, dang, Lord, okay, I get it. I know I can just do something small for you. A little step of faith. Because Lord, you say, well, you just need faith of a mustard seed. That's all you need. And God, I pray for stories of just faithfulness and stepping into you. And God, that you would meet them there in mighty ways. And God, I pray that you would protect our teams as we send out Bolivia. And Lord, that I can promise that we're not going to, I can't promise everything, Lord, but I can promise, you know what, we're not going to put the expectation that we got to go change Bolivia for you. You know what, God, you care deeply more about Bolivia and Ethiopia and Gallatin Valley than we ever could. But if I can just walk a few steps and do a few small things for you, if I can give a cup of cold water in your name, then praise God, Lord, that's all we want. Lord, what if this church was immobilized, that we could all be people who are looking for intentional ways, opportunities to love as you've loved us. In Jesus' name, amen.